Welcome back to our next episode of What's Up, Prof. Welcome back, Walter.
This is becoming a habit.
Yes, I'm enjoying this habit. I think it's a healthy habit. Will you open up for us with a word of prayer, please?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, there are such incredible events taking place in the world. And there's so much turmoil and so much pain and so much antagonism. It is as if the world is being subjected to forces beyond its control. And the only one who has everything in his hands is our God. And so I pray, Lord, that you will be with us as we discuss these things. May your Spirit be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to start with a subject that's not an easy subject. And that's the Black Lives Matter. And I would also like from my side just to make it from the beginning clear that if you're a Christian and you see color and not a human being, then you've got a problem. Because the Bible makes it clear in the commandments, and Jesus summed up the commandments saying that love to God and love to your neighbor. And nowhere in neighbor there's a color or a race attached.
Or a creed or anything.
Anything.
Or a nation.
So that's our standpoint. If I can speak for you as well. That's where we come from.
Yes.
There's no right, white, black. It is all human beings.
Well, let's just recap a little bit. This is the last one now in the series North versus South. We thought we could do it in one, but it ended up as three, right?
Yes.
Well, North versus South, we were discussing the ideologies that are in national boundaries and across national boundaries. And amongst all of these issues, we, as background, before we started with the North versus South, used the elements that we discussed in the doctrine of the serpent. How the serpent theology has permeated virtually the whole of humanity. And the mother of this doctrine, we saw, was Roman Catholicism. And this is Babylonian wine that has been poured out, and the nations have drunk the wine. And so they are drunk with the wine of Babylon. And so we have to always compare scripture with the ideologies out there. Are we talking scriptural ideologies, or are we talking serpent ideologies? And we need to bear that in mind as well. So everything is in the context of an ideological clash, which eventually, when North and South come together in a synthesis, will end in the ultimate ideological clash between those that have swallowed the Babylonian mode of thinking versus those who are with the biblical mode of thinking. And these are the filters that we are applying. And everything that we see happening in the world must be in that context.
Yes, that's very important.
So one of the serpent lies was, you shall not surely die. Mm. And this one, of course, plays an incredible role in the terms of Babylonian thinking. And if you believe that when you die, you don't die, that you continue as a spirit entity, well, then spiritism and spiritualism becomes the norm, becomes
acceptable.
Probable. Yes. And if you look at the television broadcasts over the last number of years, how many programs instill that thought into your mind? That you can communicate with the dead, that you can be in communion with those that have, as some claim, crossed over. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Bible has a totally different teaching. In God, the dead are not really dead, they are sleeping. And that means they're not waking entities doing something else. They are sleeping. What do you do when you sleep? Do you go walking around doing things? No, you are asleep, right? So this is what the Bible says, what the condition of death is. And from that condition, there will be a resurrection. And God is not dependent on the material that was initially you. He will call and you will come forth with a glorified body, which is like unto his glorious body. And we talked about issues like that as well. So this was one of the great serpent lies. And how does this permeate humanity? Mm-hmm. Even the Christian churches have adopted this Babylonian wine, even though their founders, like Martin Luther and Tyndall, believed the biblical version. Yes. Their followers don't. And that's just a fact of history. So let's have a look at a verse which I find is very important when it comes to discussing issues of nationality, mm-hmm. race, etc. It's very touchy ground. Mm-hmm. And we come from South Africa, where it is touchy to the power of 10.
Yes.
So Acts chapter 17 verse 26 tells us where we come from. Talking about God, and it says, and has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know, I've given quite a number of lectures on genetics, mm-hmm. and in my evolution creation series, there is also a lecture on genetics, the genes of Genesis, it's called. Perhaps you can put a link in.
I will. What, does that also explain the different blood types?
All of it is in that.
Okay.
So if you look at this statement that he from one blood has made all nations, then I compared it there with the many varieties of animals that we get. And if you take the canine family, they can all be derived back to the wolf.
Yes.
Even though their genetics can differ vastly. The wolf can have 76 chromosomes, and some of the foxes have fewer chromosomes in the 30s, 36. Mm. But if you look at comparative gene mapping, you will see that there are short chromosomes when we look at the wolf with his high number of chromosomes, and long ones when you have the smaller number. And band mapping shows you that it's actually a fusion of chromosomes, and that the same genetic material is present in both. But then you have all the varieties of forms, shapes, colors. And if you take one species like the dog, for example, and then you can clearly see that the range that you can get out of that wild type ranges from a Chihuahua to a Great Dane. And it's incredible. A little Chihuahua doesn't know that he's a Chihuahua and is quite happy to attack a Great Dane, thinking that he's the same size when he's not. But this is the kind of variety that is built into the gene system. So what is the difference between the races? Well, the one has more pigmentation than another one, but we have the same pigments. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a white man or a white woman. We are pigmented. This is certainly not a white color. It's just less than in other people. So you have the entire spectrum. So where was Adam? Adam was probably somewhere in the middle. He was not white and he was not black, but he had the genetic potential for the entire range. And all men were created from that one wild gene pair. which was immaculate, which was perfect, which had no degeneracies, no faults. All of humanity has degenerated. If you take the Bible and you look at the sizes of the people, how large they were,
yes,
we must look puny compared to them, right? And just the fact that our teeth don't even fit anymore tells us that we must have had a much greater structure originally. So exactly what we were like, we don't know. And what we will be, we don't know, but we will get glorified bodies and new bodies. So if we are all made from one blood, then we are all related, irrespective of what nationality, race, tribe, creed we belong to. Now Ephesians tells us in chapter 4 verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's quite a mouthful.
Yeah.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The bottom line is this. Once you understand where you come from, once you understand where you are heading, once you have been called out of Babylonian thinking with all its wrath and bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking, you have to put that away.
Yes.
You have to become a new person.
You have to view other persons in a new view.
Exactly. You must look at people in a different light. You must see the image of God.
Yes.
No matter how distorted that image has become, if you take someone who's been subjected to the drug world and has been devastated, and you rehabilitate a person like that, you know, I often think about these shows that they have where they rescue animals, for example, stray animals that are in the most horrendous position with those empty, dull eyes. And you just take them out of this position and you give them love and attention, how they blossom and how they change.
Yes.
That's how God works with us. He picks us up where we are, and He changes us into what we can become.
Yes.
And some of us have devastated lives because of drug use or what, which crosses the color line. It doesn't. Yeah. Drugs don't ask what color are you. And you have this destroyed humanity, and you have this possibility of restoration. And if you take biblical examples, Mary Magdalene, for example, where the Bible says that seven times God had to drive those demonic forces out of her. And this is the state of humanity. But once God has redeemed you, then we must put away those things and we must consider each other as brothers and sisters. So a Christian, by definition, cannot be racist.
No.
Now, have Christians demonstrated racism over the centuries?
Definitely.
Absolutely. So then what kind of Christians were they?
Not true to the word Christian.
In other words, they're giving lip service. Mm. But once you understand the truth, then these issues must become prominent. Now, I'm quite proud to say that when this church was founded, one of the great issues that was in that early time, a very prominent part of the discussion, was slavery.
Yes.
And the racial issue. And this is one of the churches that spoke out most profoundly against that injustice. Why? Because they had recognized something in the scripture which didn't match the reality that they were seeing with their own eyes.
Yes.
So man's inhumanity to man should not be an excuse for those who are living today who find Christ.
Correct.
Genesis chapter 3 verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. You shall surely not die, or ye shall not surely die, which is the same thing. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Those were the three issues of the serpentine doctrine that we discussed. Now, if this is the doctrine of the serpent, how does he integrate it into the movements that we see in the world today? Because remember, this is how this is his doctrine.
Yes.
This is his religion. So everything that he gets onto his side is permeated with these lies. Yes. And his champion, the beast, mm-hmm, of Revelation, is the one that, like a mother hen, incorporates all of this under her wing.
Yes.
So we have to look for these elements.
In everything, yes.
In everything. And if we find them, then we must know, oops, this, mm-hmm, is Babylon.
Correct.
And what does God say must we do?
Get out of Babylon.
Come out of Babylon. So everything is connected. And you cannot take something in isolation and discuss it and say, oh, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. We must look at the systems,
yes,
and compare it with the biblical scenario. So, for example, Pope Francis urges Catholic media to help young tell good from evil. Does he use the Bible to do this? No.
No.
So he's the one that says he will determine what is good and evil, and he will use the world media to help young people to distinguish between good and evil. I don't think the world's media is going to be very helpful when it comes to distinguishing between good and evil. What do you think?
No.
So is the television going to be your educator?
Well, that's what he is asking for. Well, he uses the Catholic Press Association, so he's
referring to the news, right?
Yes, so the news are supposed to help you now decide between good and evil.
Aha. Uh-huh. I don't think that this is in harmony with what God wants us to do. And unfortunately, it is just the fact that the media is being used today as a propaganda tool,
oh, yes,
to whip up emotions to the point where people at point blank range will shoot each other.
Mm.
I mean, look at that case the other day where that security guard shot that person to death because they weren't wearing a mask.
Mm.
So who whipped them up into that state of mind where there is a right way and a wrong way according to the media?
Yeah.
And we have to watch out for this kind of thing. Don't let the media become your educator.
Correct.
Use the media to see what's happening in the
exactly
world.
That's why we emphasize that you use the biblical filters to put all the media into their categories, but don't get become part of it.
Correct. But if the media is going to be a propaganda machine, then you have to be very,
yes,
very careful.
Because the news that comes from them, from what filter did they use?
And how much practice have they had, mm-hmm, over the years? Look how, I mean, I'm German, right? Just look how the whole mindset of a whole nation, mm-hmm, could be swung by propaganda into what the whole world today recognizes as a travesty of justice that is unparalleled in human history. But we are on the point of repeating it,
yeah,
and improving upon it.
Isn't it amazing how the current situation in America. Now, Trump is openly against the fake news.
Yes.
I don't know if there's ever been a president that's so outspoken before against news agencies.
I've never heard in my life one speaking as prominently as he does. But the point we are making here by showing these things is that the Roman Catholic Church, as we showed in those lectures, the doctrine of the serpent, as the champion of those doctrines, has its finger in all of these pies. And here the Pope is telling us that the media must be used to shape the minds of the people, particularly the young people.
What's also for me interesting is on this issue from the media now to tell you or help to know good and evil. The lie is that we can actually know between good and evil without the biblical.
That's right. And once you start going down that slippery slope, you can end anywhere. So with those points in mind, let's have a look at a statement from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2. We are forbidden to wrong our neighbor in anything. And as you said, the word neighbor is totally colorblind, right?
Correct.
We should not view the matter from the worldling standpoint. That's exactly what we've been saying. To deal with our fellow men in every instance just as we should wish them to deal with us is a rule which we should apply to ourselves practically. God's laws are to be obeyed to the letter. In all our intercourse and deal with our fellow men, whether believers or unbelievers, this rule is to be applied. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, not everybody has the same circumstances. You get poor people, you get rich people, you get violent people, you get calm people, you get criminals. Now, criminality, is it something that is exclusive to a particular race?
No.
Or do you get criminals in every race, in every tribe, in every creed, in every nation?
Yes.
Do you get murderers and rapists in only one race? No. It is something that happens in every race.
Yes, because sin is in the world.
Exactly. Now, war and bloodshed and bombs falling from the sky, are they color dependent?
No.
Or do they hit everyone?
Everyone.
Sorrow, pain, is it color determined?
No.
No. A mother that loses her child, the pain and the sorrow that they feel, is it color dependent?
Yeah.
No. Shouldn't these things arouse human compassion? So we have to look at these things very carefully. So with that background, let's look at this issue of Black Lives Matter.
Now, let's just say it. Because everywhere, Black Lives Matter. We're talking about the movement. We're not saying the color or the life of any person doesn't matter.
Yes.
This is going into the movement and what should be.
We're looking at movements. We're looking at great events happening in the time that we are living in, and we're placing them in categories. Now, it is true that black lives matter.
Of course.
But it's also true that white lives matter, or any other race's life matters. Because in God, there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And redemption is totally colorblind. It is open to all who believe. Right?
Correct.
And once you become a believer, you become part of the heavenly family.
That's the important thing.
Don't we call each other in the church brother and sister?
Exactly.
And does that then cross the color line as well?
Yes.
Absolutely. So what Black Lives Matter can teach Catholics about racial justice Now, this comes from the Jesuit Review. This is the Journal America. So I'm always interested in how these people think.
Yes.
Because this is the mother church that encompasses the doctrine of the serpent. So let's just read the highlighted portions, otherwise we're going to take forever. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone I spoke with agreed that the Catholic Church will not succeed in its work towards racial reconciliation unless the hierarchy enters into dialogue with the Black Lives Matter movement. That's a fascinating thing. So a movement has arisen, and the only way to solve the racial issue is for the church to communicate with the movement. Mm. Who says the movement is right? Who says the church is right? Mm-hmm. What is going to be the criteria? And then it tells us further, Ms. Garza, one of the founders of the movement, would welcome such dialogue. The purpose of faith, I think, is to be connected to something bigger than yourself and to be able to carry out the agenda of that faith, she says. Now, I believe it is quite possible that this dialogue that they might have might end up in a synthesis. Mm. And that church and this movement come together and form a synthesis and improve racial relations. As one of the anchors on Fox News stated, perhaps it would be useful if there was a pastoral swap every now and then, so that the churches that are predominantly black worshippers and those that are predominantly filled with white worshippers come together and dialogue and also have a pastoral swap, let's say once a month, so that we get to know each other better because we have points of common contact. We all believe that Jesus is the one that saves us, etc. So this would be a good movement. Absolutely, could be a wonderful movement. And it's not a bad idea. But what if? And this is always my problem. What if there is a sting to the tail? Mm-hmm. What if with that synthesis and that fusion, you're actually swallowing something else that is not biblical? So if you have a thesis and an antithesis which becomes a synthesis, that doesn't mean that the synthesis is right. Mm,
correct.
Correct? So again, where do we apply the filter? What is correct? What is right? What is good? What is evil? Where is the difference? Where do I find the answer? I find the answer in the Bible. I don't see how the church can remain outside something as significant as Black Lives Matter. So here we have a little bell ringing in our mind, which says, now wait a minute, a movement has been started, and this movement is going to liaise with the church, and out of that will come a solution, which might sound good.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is bringing healing. But is it true healing?
No. And what's interesting is, this was in February of last year. This is before the riots.
Before the riots.
Even started.
Correct. Now, if you just think about riots, where you have riots and where you have looting, is that love your neighbor as yourself? How would you like to be on the other side of the fence, being the one that is looted? Mm. So it is contrary to the concept of love your neighbor. Any form of violent action.
Looting, like you said, it's also part of the commandments.
Exactly.
And that falls under the commandments of love your neighbor. The first four to God and the last six towards
It is true that there is inequality. We cannot deny that the world is filled with inequality. But it's not just across racial divides. There are social inequalities within races, which are sometimes even more prominent than those between races. So, you know, where's your criterion? Here's an article from Breitbart: the complex funding and ideology of Black Lives Matter. So we have to look at the movement. And so political and corporate support for Black Lives Matter has become ubiquitous over the past week. So there is this movement that the political world, the social world, the church world, in other words, the whole of the human community becomes involved in this. And because it is such an explosive issue, it's easy to say, well, I'm going to be part of this movement. Black Lives Matter, major financial supporters include George Soros, Open Society Foundation, $33 million, Bad Robot Productions, film studio involved in Star Trek, Star Wars, etc., pledged $10 million. It's interesting. Cisco Electronics Giants, $5 million to the group, including BLM and its own Fighting Racism and Discrimination Fund. So there's this massive movement, let's make this thing right. But on what basis? On what principle? U.S. bishops caught funding radical groups supporting riots calling for death to the police. This is very interesting. Mm-hmm. What is going on? This is from June. A new investigation by the Lepanto Institute has revealed that the bishops in the United States, through their Catholic Campaign for Human Development, are funding organizations that support riots and whose goal includes not only defunding police, but even killing them. Now, this must be pretty well orchestrated, because who would ever come up with an idea that in the world that we are living in, that we have to get rid of the police. In certain areas, reform of policing is certainly something yes. that can be on the agenda, but nobody in his right mind would come up with the idea, let's get rid of them totally. What would that lead to? We would have anarchy, right? I mean, even God has put rulers of evil over the evil.
Yeah.
So God has invested humanity with the power to control these issues. And that was one of the promises made to Cain right in the beginning. But that the Catholic Church should be so involved is always something that puts up the antennae.
Antennae, yes.
So let us just look at a little bit of the background of the movement and see what the ideologies are that are involved.
I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
They are trained Marxists. Now, Karl Marx said that religion was a problem, and Lenin said religion was a problem, and they had to keep God right out of their meetings, remember?
Yes.
It's fascinating to me how this ideology can now be mingled with the religion. And
interesting synthesis, for instance, if we go back to the American article, the Jesuit article, that said they can learn from each other. This is a faith thing. So where is the Marxist and faith, how is this going to get together?
What is the faith issue? So let's have a look at this interesting article from the Daily Signal, The Ugly Racism of Karl Marx. Now, that's a oxymoron. How can you be trained Marxists and have Marxist ideology when Karl Marx was actually quite blatantly racist? Few people who call themselves Marxists have ever been bothered to read Das Kapital. If one did read it, it would see that people who call themselves Marxists have little in common with Marx. For those who see Marx as their hero, there are a few historical tidbits they might find interesting. Nathaniel Whale, himself a former communist, dug them up for his 1979 book, Karl Marx, Racist.
Well, Marx and Engels made some comments that's really not fit for us to put on the screen.
Yeah. So,
but they were blatantly down talking to the colored people.
Correct. It's interesting that you can take an opposite ideology like fascism under Adolf Hitler, for example, and they were just as blatantly racist, saying that there was a superior race as to opposed to other races. It's exactly the same thing. It's totally contrary to the Bible.
Absolutely.
Here's another statement from the Spirit of Prophecy, Gospel Workers, Councils for the Church. And it says, there is a large vineyard to be cultivated. But while Christians are to work amongst unbelievers, they are not to appear like worldlings. They are not to spend their time talking politics or acting politics, for by so doing, they give the enemy opportunity to come in and cause variance and discord. I think that's a very important point.
Yes.
God's children are to separate themselves from politics, from any alliance with unbelievers. Do not take part in political strife. Separate from the world and refrain from bringing into the church or school ideas that will lead to contention and disorder. Dissension is the moral poison taken into the system by human beings who are selfish. Now, this is an incredible statement. We're supposed to stand aloof from any such movements. And there's a good reason for that.
Yes.
Once you start taking a side, you will automatically have an opposite side arrayed against you.
Yes.
And if you take that side, the same applies.
Yeah. And then you bring it into the church and you've got a split in the church.
And you have the exact same chaos in the church. So once you embrace the truth, once you embrace Christianity, your fellow believers become your brothers and sisters. And the differences must disappear. And if you have been programmed through your social circumstances to have ideas which are contrary to this, then you have to go onto your knees and you have to ask God to remove those ideas and thoughts from your mind.
That's important.
And to come back into harmony.
Yes. And not get the Bible to become in harmony with your thoughts.
No.
Because there's a lot of people that have done that. I mean, our own country.
You cannot put the cart before the horse.
Yes. They use the Bible to justify some racial things.
Exactly. Now, as we said before, throughout history, there have been these Christians that have exactly done the opposite, implemented slavery, implemented all of these things. And then it is labeled as the Christian that is actually doing this, and the Christian becomes the enemy. This is exactly what we are seeing here.
Yes.
But true Christianity must be clearly distinguished, and God's people should be a mirror for the world. They should see in God's people a different attitude to the world. They should see a genuine regard and kindness and respect amongst God's people that does not exist out there in the world.
100%.
And people should say, what is it that makes them different? Unfortunately, we're not living in a perfect world, and we won't see this happening until we get to the point where our knees become as important to us as our prejudices were before.
Exactly. Sin also doesn't have a color attached to it.
No, there's no color. So can we take part in any of such movements? Even if they have principles with which we agree, even if there are principles of unfairness, we have to look at the whole picture. And the answer is clearly, no, we cannot. No. We can agree with the sentiment, but we must always put it in the context of the bigger Bible. Picture. Let us look a little bit further into the Black Lives Matter, and we'll see what the ideology is, besides Marxism. Because even Marxism is a faith, even if it is a faith that excludes God. Yes. So it must include something. What does it include? Let's have a look.
And maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right? Like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know, and I didn't meet her in her body. Right? Yeah. I met her through this work. So I just want you to kind of speak to that a little bit, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, I was always someone who almost obsessed about our ancestors, Black ancestors in particular. I wasn't raised with honoring ancestors necessarily. I was raised Jehovah's Witness, a little bit opposite of that. And as I got older and started to feel like I was missing something, ancestral worship became really important. And as you know, the Fowler Museum is so important because it has a bunch of West African traditional pieces inside that museum.
That was the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. And it's fascinating. She stated that she was raised Jehovah's Witness. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses also believe that the dead sleep. But then she felt this power that was moving inside. And it was ancestral worship. In other words, making contact with the ancestors. And that this was part of spirituality that had to be introduced. And the host also related stories of talking to disembodied entities. Now, do you see the link there with serpent theology?
Yes.
If the dead know nothing, if the dead no longer take part in anything under the sun, if the dead no longer return to their homes, then these entities that are manifesting themselves are not ancestors, but demonic forces. Mm. Because they are speaking contrary to the word of God. And therefore, if you know what the doctrine of the serpent is, and you know the situations, if you know how they are linked one to another, then you can avoid these things by applying your filter. So, Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement. And it's also a Marxist movement. Now, let me just get this straight. Marxism, which says there is no God, is that King of the South or King of the North?
That's King of the South.
And a spiritual movement that includes ancestral worship, is that King of the South or King of the North?
That's King of the North.
So where are we now? Aren't we at synthesis?
Mm-hmm.
So this movement is a synthesis. And I always find it fascinating to see how these poles actually come together with two diametrically opposed philosophies fusing into one. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So it's a spiritual movement, says co-founder Patrice Cullors. Abdullah and Cullors touched on the practice of calling out the names of the victims that they advocate for in protests and demonstrations. It's kind of a way to invoke the spirits, Abdullah said. Uplifting the names of victims goes beyond creating hashtags, Cullors said. It is literally among almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. That's a very scary statement. Mm. Would you like a spirit entity to work through you? If you know that it's not an ancestor, because the Bible tells you that that ancestor is asleep.
Yes. So, it's a very scary thing.
Colors, who grew up Jehovah's Witness, says she was always someone who almost obsessed about our black ancestors. So this is a very interesting synthesis that we are seeing here. It is a Babylonian fusion. And there is Babylonian wine mixed in the mix. The dead are not dead. They surely did not die. This is serpent theology at its best. Yes. Can I be part of it?
Yeah.
Can I take any aspect of it and say, well, I support that but not that, therefore I'm part of the movement?
No, then you, like you said in the previous one, partly influenced or partly part of Babylon.
Exactly. Now, the same with the Bible. How much of it must I accept?
All of it.
Are there optional accessories?
No.
None?
No.
It's a package deal, right?
Finished.
So the world has this package, which consists of all these separate components that have become a synthesis, because all of them contain something that I will agree with. And then I am willing to pocket the some things that I don't agree with for the sake of unity.
Yes.
Is that a good basis for unity?
That is terrible. It's like an ecumenical movement.
You've hit the nail on the head. The ecumenical movement is exactly the same. Let us not concentrate on our differences. Let us concentrate on that which unites us. And then we'll throw Jesus into the waste paper basket. Because the less we mention him, the better we get along.
Yes.
African ancestor beliefs. Now, this article here comes from the Southern Cross, which is the official Southern Africa Catholic Weekly magazine. And we're not going to go through the whole article. I think it's about 11 pages long. But the summary is what we're interested in, right? Yeah. How are they going to see this? Most, if not all, black Catholics within the Archdiocese of Cape Town, South Africa, pray to their ancestors. They know this. Ancestor worship is the African mode of worship. Since the African ancestor system of belief has survived two centuries of Christian mission, in other words, couldn't wipe it out, we look at the theology of the communion of the saints for possible coherence with this very important system of belief. So is there a link between Catholicism and ancestor worship?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, Roman Catholics have saint communion. In fact, Roman Catholics teach that you can communicate with the Godhead through the saints. Do you solicit the aid of the saints? What's the difference between that and ancestor worship?
No.
None.
Nothing.
The communion of the saints in Roman Catholic thinking goes further. At every Mass that is said, those on the other side that are dead are participating. So you have a communion of the living and the dead in every Mass. That is spiritism at its highest level. And it is forbidden by God.
Yes.
Because necromancy, the worship of the dead or the calling of the dead, is forbidden by God.
Yes.
Now can you see how Roman Catholicism is the one that can incorporate all the religious systems under its wings? Because it has something for everybody.
Yes, it caters inside of its theology for every religion that there is.
The spirit of prophecy says that she's perfectly situated to accommodate those who want to be saved by their works and those who want to be saved in their sins.
Yes. And the bishops are not shy to admit that you can use Buddhist mantras or ways of prayer to do in Catholicism.
Now,
and that's just one of them.
That is the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard of in my life. Because Buddhism, by its very nature, does not believe in a personal God. And when you take it to its ultimate end, This is very strange because the ultimate position that you can reach is nirvana, which is the state of nothingness. How it has become possible that a theology can be created where the state of nothingness, which is the state of the dead, eventually, as described in the Bible, becomes the ultimate achievement, is amazing. Mm-hmm. Christianity says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you to the full. Whereas this philosophy says that you empty yourself. Can you bring this philosophy of totally emptying yourself and becoming nothing and denying a personal God, can you fuse this with the religion of a personal God?
No.
No, it's impossible. They're diametrically opposed. So again, you have a thesis and an antithesis and you have a synthesis.
Yes.
So let's just read this again. Since the African ancestor system of belief has survived two centuries of Christian mission, we look at the theology of the communion of the saints for possible coherence with this very important system of belief. So they admit there's no difference. This theology satisfies us that those who have gone before us are not asleep. What does the Bible say?
Doctrine of the serpent, 100% in your face there.
Absolutely.
And the Bible says they do sleep.
Absolutely. The Bible says they are asleep. Jesus says Lazarus sleepeth. They are asleep. They have no more to do under the sun. This is incredible. So Rome categorically says they're not asleep. The Bible says they are asleep. But are a constant presence to us. The Bible says they have nothing to do with anything under the sun. In fact, Job tells us that they're standing at the grave and he doesn't even know it. Whereas they preach, he's standing right with us and looking at us and smiling at us, right? Having experienced immediate judgment after death, which is not biblical, because he has set a day in which he will judge the world. This is totally contrary to the gospel and to the Bible. And immediate reward or punishment, which is not true, because that comes after the resurrection, right? And are in a real-time communication with us, contrary to the Bible.
Yes, Jesus says, I come with my reward.
Yes.
And here they say, your reward is immediate.
Exactly. What's the point of him saying, I will come again? So that you can be where I am also, which implies that you are not with him where he is also. What's the point? The whole gospel is negated. This is the way the Sadducees used to think. I contend that it is not only the canonized saints who are in contact with us, but all those in heaven and purgatory as well. Oh, now they can even get out of purgatory to come and communicate with you. Because it would be hard for them to get rid of purgatory, right? Mm. And remember, why was there a purgatory in the first place?
So that you can pay for forgiven sins.
Exactly, because Rome teaches that Christ never died for you. Mm-hmm. You still have to pay for your own sins. He didn't bear the price for your sins. He didn't pay that price. You are responsible for your own salvation. That's salvation by works.
Yes.
So this is also contrary to the Bible. As there is no doubt from the documents of the church that these are in communion with us. That also. This is beautiful. This is. I couldn't have done it better. Thank you, Southern Cross.
It acknowledges everything that you've said before.
Absolutely.
Of the doctrine of the serpent.
So what convinces of this? The documents of the church.
Not the Bible.
Not the Bible. No. Isn't this fascinating?
Yes.
And they are so amazing. Let's read the highlighted part. In the same way that African ancestors need acknowledgement by their progeny, but for different reasons, our departed need prayers to facilitate the process of purification, purgatory. So in other words, Rome teaches that your purification continues on the other side with the penalty, purgatory, the suffering, to pay the price for the sins, totally negating the gospel of salvation. Those who have gone before us no doubt have a very special interest in our well-being, and being present to us will no doubt pray for us. There is no problem then in seeing the departed as a benign presence with our best interests at heart. There are many experiences narrated, subjective admittedly, of some type of assistance and communication received from our departed family members. Ancestors are seen as mediators between God and humankind. The Bible tells us that there are how many mediators?
Only one.
Are you sure?
Yes, the man Christ
Jesus. But you are at variance with the Roman Catholic Church now.
We are at variances with quite a few people at this stage.
Now, this is incredible. So, here again, what the Bible teaches and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches are two different things.
Yes.
And it is very clear. This is their official mouthpiece.
Yes.
This is not, as some would like to say, an obscure source.
No.
All the black Catholics whom I have questioned pray to their ancestors. There is no mysterious invoking of spirits. All also pray to Jesus. Now this is totally...
It's a fusion again.
A confusion. Mm. What you have here is a synthesis of a truth with a lie. Mm. And it is fascinating that the lie always rides on the back of truth to make it acceptable. But it doesn't make it any less a lie. So when you accept Jesus Christ, do you then rid yourself of the Babylonian baggage that you have picked up throughout your life? And how do you know what to get rid of? Bible study.
Yes.
The Word of God must purify the soul. And once the Word tells you something, and the Holy Spirit convicts you that that is truth, then everything else must be set aside and become part of the Babylonian confusion, which you set aside and do not take as baggage with you.
Yes.
So they have made it very clear to us that this whole movement, together with the church, is completely compatible with their theology, but also completely incompatible with the Bible.
Yes, with true Christianity.
Yes. So, let us have a look at some of these issues, how the papacy actually embraces all of these ideologies, not only with African nations, but also with that of other nations. Now that was the ritual with Pachamama. Now she is Mother Earth.
Yes, I think it's for the fertility, Mother Earth, God, idol, goddess.
And he was quite happy to embrace it and make it part of his system. So LifeSite tells us Amazonian woman who led Vatican tree planting ceremony reveals its pagan significance. And then there's her name, Olivia Rivana, who also guided participants in bowing down around Pachamama statues during the October 4th ceremony, said regarding the event, the synod is to plant this tree, water and cultivate, so that the Amazonian people are heard and respected in their customs and traditions, experienced the mystery of the divinity present in the Amazonian soil. That is pantheism.
Yes.
That is blatant pantheism. And it's totally in harmony with the theology of Pope Francis, whose encyclicals are permeated with pantheism. In section 70, Pope Francis states that the church needs to listen to the ancestral wisdom. Here again, we have the official position of the Roman Catholic Church, that ancestral worship is part and part of the system of the Amazon region. He states that the church needs to listen once more to the voice of the Amazon elders. So in other words, the accumulated wisdom, pantheistic wisdom over the eons. And here we're going to see how nature worship and earth worship are being fused. This is a synthesis, right?
Yeah.
We are going to fuse the various systems of belief into a synthesis. We're going to add a mix of earth worship into the system, Gaia worship. Mm-hmm. And we're going to grant Mother Earth the rest that she requires.
Yes.
And then you have the full Babylonian confusion all in one nice package. They ask the question here, did Pope Francis defend Pachamama idolatry at the Vatican in New Amazon Synod exhortation? Well, Pope Francis states that the people should not be quick to describe as superstition or paganism certain religious practices that arise spontaneously from the life of the peoples. Now, whenever Rome evangelized an area, like when the Jesuits went to South America, they not only exploited those poor people, they created the reductions upon which communism is basically based. And in those reductions, they used these people basically as slave labor and often made them dependent on drugs, and the drug industry arose out of this movement.
Yes.
And they would not negate their religious practices with Catholicism, but incorporate them and fuse them into a synthesis. And this is the power of Catholicism. This is how you gather a nation into your fold. You just change the names of the deities. Mm-hmm. But they're still the same deities. And you can worship the old ones in parallel to the new. So Pope Francis hosted a pagan ceremony with Pachamama statues in the Vatican Gardens and even blessed one of the statues.
Oh, that we saw in the video.
Is that contrary to the second commandment?
Yes.
At the ceremony, people were bowing down to the ground, worshipping the statue. Is that contrary to the second commandment?
Yes.
What did Rome do with the second commandment?
They took it out.
Uh-huh. Additionally, the Pope prayed in front of the Pachamama statue at the St. Peter's Cathedral on October 7, and then accompanied it in procession into the Synod Hall. Is that contrary to the commandment?
Yes.
So now, how do we integrate all of this into one package? The Bible warns us that there will be this integrated package and that people will have to make a choice between the system which the Bible calls Babylon and the truth. So basically, we've seen the roots of the Black Lives Matter movement, and we've come to the conclusion that there is a synthesis in there which makes it a very dangerous movement. If there were a similar movement, let's say White Lives Matter, and it integrated the same sort of principles, then exactly the same would apply.
Exactly.
So the slogan that a Christian should adopt is All Lives Matter.
Yes.
Because Jesus came to die for all of mankind. All of mankind. You know, we live in Africa, spoken to many, many people of every race and tribe. And people have often said to me in my own country, that Christianity is a white man's religion. Mm. Christianity didn't originate in Europe. Yeah. No, it's not a white man's religion. And Christianity did not originate in Africa.
Yeah.
It originated in the Middle East, right?
Yes.
So Christianity originated in the East and spread across the entire world. And yes, it is based upon Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, who did become a human being and was part of a specific race, the Jews. Mm-hmm. But he was God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in his glorified form, he shines like the sun. And the European has the choice to accept this truth. And the African has a choice to accept this truth. And the Asian has a choice to accept this truth. And so has every single nation, because this gospel will be preached unto
all the world,
all nations. So now, having basically seen what the roots of the Black Lives Matter movement was and how it is integrated with the lie of the serpent, mm-hmm. and how it is integrated with the Roman Catholic system, because all power is going to be given unto the beast, therefore the beast must be prominent in all of this, let's have a look at the mark of the beast, how this will be incorporated, because we've seen Mother Earth worship now.
Yes.
And Mother Earth must be granted a day of rest. Mm. And so we're going...
That Amazon Senate that were at the Vatican and doing this rituals and everything, that was in September, October of 2019, during that celebration, I think, I don't know how long it is, of St. Francis the Earth and everything. And we've touched on that in that document of Jubilee for the Earth.
Yes.
Because that Jubilee of the Earth were already preparing for this year's getting together and celebrating that. And now there's a new or an add-on also to this, yeah. That's Freedom Sunday.
It's also interesting that some people weren't too happy with those rituals and actually stole those statues and threw them into the river, didn't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Some of the more conservative Catholics.
Yes. So let's have a look at this article here. Dedicate one Sunday at your church to end slavery. Now, slavery is very much associated with Black Lives Matter. So now Sunday is being brought into the mix.
Yes.
So we have a movement which is supposed to train humanity in the right direction in terms of racial prejudice. So we can all agree on that. But because of the mix that is in there, we have to separate ourselves from movements like that and not seen marching with a movement that is in any way integrated with this Babylonian concept. So now Sunday is brought into the mix. Freedom Sunday is an invitation for your congregation to learn about slavery. It's never Freedom Monday or Tuesday or anything like it. It has to be Sunday, right?
This all comes back. Even if it sometimes starts off on a Friday or something, eventually it comes back and it ends up to being a Sunday.
It must be a Sunday. So, and your church can help send rescue to children, women, and men living in slavery. Pledge a date for your Freedom Sunday or join the Global Freedom Sunday movement on Sunday, the 20th of September, 2020. When you host Freedom Sunday, you will, and then it tells you what you will all be involved in.
You see, this adds on or links on to the Jubilee for the Earth type of movement, because this is also, they encourage churches to get on board with this.
Yes.
So it's a global movement.
It sounds like a good movement, and people that have swallowed a little portion of the Babylonian story here and a little bit there eventually will move along, whether they are religious or not.
Yes.
Because it accommodates all of them. Mm-hmm. That's what a synthesis is all about. Here is join our Freedom Sunday movement. On Freedom Sunday, churches all around the world come together as a united, hopeful, justice-driven community seeking to end modern slavery. The concept is fine, but what are the hooks attached to it?
Exactly.
We start with prayer, lament, learning, dialogue, worship to inform and catalyze our response to the global tragedy. Now, if this takes place all over the world, will ancestral worship be part of it in some places?
Yes.
Obviously, yes. Freedom Sunday is more than a day. It's more than a worship service. Freedom Sunday is a movement of hope. So Sunday is linked to hope.
Yes.
Will government become involved?
Well, yes, according to the Bible, it will.
Aha, so church and state will come together on this issue. So we must see the state acting a role, and eventually the state is the one that enforces legislation. Mm-hmm. So let's have a look at a little video clip and see how this pans out in the concept of prophecy.
He also happens to be the most resilient, the most courageous, the most faith-friendly president in the history of America, President Donald Trump. President Trump, we love you. Vice President Pence, working alongside our great president, and together they have been able to enact the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel, pro-conservative judiciary in the history of America.
It is good to be back in church. It is the faith of the American people that has sustained us through every dark hour of this nation's history. And it is the faith of the American people that will sustain us through these days. Other ancient words that have been over the fireplace in our home in Indiana, in the governor's residence, in the vice president's residence today. They read, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I believe with all my heart, on this Celebrate Freedom Sunday and every day, that if we will but hold fast to Him, we'll see our way through these challenging times. We will restore our nation's health. We will renew our freedom. And we will inspire people across this land with our witness of the love and compassion and strength that comes in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting me join you today. God bless you.
My young brother, these are rousing words on a Freedom Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you are seen to be contrary and not wishing to take part in any of this, how will you be viewed?
As an enemy.
As an enemy of hope?
Yes.
As an enemy of everything that the system stands for.
The big problem that I also see is everywhere disaster is happening. In various, and everywhere there's calls for unified prayer and get-togethers and all of this. But this is where it's getting dangerous.
It's getting dangerous. And if you avoid the system in its entirety, then you will be seen as being against all the little elements that are inside of it.
Yes.
So even if you are the most anti-racist person in the world, you will be labeled a racist.
Yes, because you don't want to get become part of the movement.
And if you are on the side of the scripture in terms of the day of worship, you will be designated an enemy of hope and unity. I can easily see how God's people will end up being the pariahs, being the ones that have to be exterminated off the face of the earth.
Yes.
Yes, the Catholic news agency. Catholic bishop urges UK to preserve Sunday as a day of rest. And these are all very new, right?
Yeah.
This comes from June 2020. If degrading Sunday as a day of rest or family of community of worship marginally enhanced or faltering economy, it would not be justified because of its deeper impact upon human well-being. This is a moment for us to raise our voices so our Christian Sunday is not discarded by a political sleight of hand. And they bring it in with a monthly Sunday. And eventually it will become a weekly Sunday because the earth needs it. French Archbishop calls for monthly lockdown on Sunday. Now, this is getting more interesting. We now see a link between a pandemic and Sunday.
Yes.
So you need a monthly lockdown Sunday. Could that be expanded to a weekly lockdown Sunday?
Definitely. They can say it's for your health.
It's for your health.
They can say it's for climate change. They can say it's for, they can use it for everything.
For anything. So you can reach the secular mind and you can reach the religious mind, right?
Yes.
You need a time for contemplation. You need a time to consider the evils of humanity and to set the record straight. We need to put shoulder to shoulder. And mixed into this bowl, which is called Babylonian confusion, you're swallowing all of the other issues for the sake of unity.
Yes.
Amazing. Now, just a thought. The mark of the beast that will be implemented. And Rome plainly says the mark of our ecclesiastical power is that we changed the Saturday to the Sunday. So it is a mark of their authority in religious matters, and the whole world follows the dictates of the Roman Catholic Church, right? They even mock Protestants with regard to that. Now here they're linking Sunday to a pandemic, to a disease. If you look at the Bible and you look at the warning against the mark of the beast, part of that warning is called the right arm of the gospel, which is the health message.
Yes.
In other words, the true mark of God is associated with a health issue. So the false mark is also associated here with the health message. Isn't that incredible?
That's how the devil works.
He's a copycat.
The whole time.
To the nth degree. So now here he's linking a pandemic, a disease, to the mark of the beast, saying that it is paramount that we all work together on this issue and that we receive the mark of the beast. And the counter message is, do not accept the mark of the beast. And there's a health message associated with that too. A message that doesn't say that you have to wear a mask, which is a symbol of slavery, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a message that says that God will use the natural remedies in the world to rid you of disease. God is a healer. Here is an enforced healing, and there is a voluntary healing. So you have a truth linked to a health message, and you have a falsehood linked to a health message. I find this very interesting.
Yes.
And in the mix, you have the Sunday.
Correct.
Is that mind-blowing?
Yes.
Biblically? Absolutely. So, the International Catholic News Weekly, French Bishops Conference, Head Archbishop Eric de Molyne-Beaufort has said the recent pandemic shutdown had shown both the planet and its people needed a real day of Sunday rest, and suggest that France designate one Sunday a month as a locked down day. That's how you start. Like a cat. We had a cat that used to sleep on the dog. It used to sleep on top of the dog. And the dog tolerated it. But then the dog got old and it started getting aches and pains, and it wasn't too keen that the cat should lie on it anymore. And it was so funny to watch, because the cat would come and try and climb on, and the dog would go, arr! And the cat would sit there, and then the cat would put yeah. one paw on. And when that paw was on, eventually the other paw, and it was a process. And if there was a little growl, it would freeze. But eventually it ended up on the dog.
On the dog.
Every single time.
Yes.
This is how they're doing it.
Exactly.
Little by little. Many have heard the birds again. Now here you have nature coming
yes.
in, right? Oh, it is amazing. And have been able to observe the arrival of spring like never before in their lifetime. Isn't that incredible?
Beautiful.
Admitting it was probably a waking dream, he suggested a monthly real Sunday rest for people, but also for cities, for the earth. Sunday has been separated from a purely Christian context to a pagan context.
It's amazing. If you read the Sabbath, everything in the Bible regarding the Sabbath, this is what the Sabbath was supposed to be like.
Yes, you were supposed to enjoy nature.
Nature.
You were supposed to enjoy the God of nature.
Exactly.
But you were supposed to have a personal communication. Yeah. Now you're talking to dead people and dead saints that are asleep, that know nothing. Now, here is a country that is not a Christian country. It's a Hindu country.
Yes.
And they are introducing this more so than many other nations. I find this very interesting. So, you know, it doesn't stay with the Christian culture. It is a universal movement. Strict action against Sunday lockdown violators. So here the law comes into effect. And very soon, you will have to maybe even have proof of your vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be just as strict measures to make sure that you comply with the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the city police have made elaborate security arrangements for Sunday lockdown. This is incredible. The commissioner tweeted, "The lockdown begins at 8 p.m. on Saturday and concludes at 5 a.m. on Monday." They make sure that the whole of the Sunday is in there, right?
Yeah.
"Respected citizens, just stay at home and don't ask for exceptions, as this is being done in everybody's interest. Heavens won't fall if you postpone by a day. Please exercise self-discipline and cooperate." They're pretty adamant.
I just want to say, I think if anybody had a doubt on how quickly they can decide to put a law on a Sunday, just have a look around the world what's happened with this COVID-19.
Absolutely. And then there are still people that say it's not happening.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if the people have protest, riot, whatever. If the government, if it says it's in, it's in. You don't have even a way about it.
Why is it that even within our own ranks, people say this is not it? Because they expect it to come on religious terms.
Yes.
Right? Now, what if it doesn't? What if it comes in via the back door?
There's so many avenues that the devil will cover. He can't just cover. He won't make it.
It doesn't matter how it comes.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is there.
It's coming.
So I wish that our people could wake up and see where we are in the stream of time. And by the way, we haven't mentioned one conspiracy in this entire little talk. This is all straight
from the
news. This is from July 2020. So this is not something that we are inventing. This is a reality. United News of India, curfew on Sundays to control COVID. So now you have a curfew.
Yeah, and that was a certain district in India. I think this is a different district.
This is a different district. So it's amazing how this virus can be controlled with a day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no curfew Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or curfew Saturday for that matter. It's a curfew Sunday. That'll help.
Yes, it's interesting.
I fail to see the logic, but it's interesting. You can link anything.
Yes.
Once you have started the synthesis linkage, you can add anything to that list.
Anything. Do you remember in the previous one where we had the Great Reset?
Yes.
They linked everything back to climate change, and then eventually it comes back to Sunday.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. You're coming back to this issue. But there's no talk of it. Lockdown restrictions to be tightened in Yanam region on Sunday. So this is something that is happening even in countries that are not supposedly Christian. And we've seen Mike Pence speaking on those days. So this is something that is happening universally. And just to remind our readers again, we've had this on the screen many times now.
But this is a very interesting
one. This is the voice for the faithful Catholic, that they want to bring back those blue laws, and that the Netflix binge and the lockdown is over, and now's the time to consider our heritage and go back to Sunday. This movement is powerful. This movement is on a roll. Mm. And my personal conviction is that the momentum that the enemy has achieved in setting this ball rolling, it's not going to be stopped. What is the point of putting a stop to it and saying, back to square one? You would have to do this all over again?
No.
And that is why I am pretty sure that we are in the final events. Many of our people believe, no, we're not. This is just a hiccup along the road. Things will go back to normal. It'll never go back to normal. This is going to go through to finality.
Yes.
How long? We don't know. Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Obviously, this is the very last step. Everything must be in place before you can launch this war.
Yes.
Is he getting his package together? Is he linking all faiths, ancestral and otherwise, into one great movement? And then linking it to the church? And then linking it to Sunday? And then finding someone who is not willing
enemy
to go along with it?
Yeah.
And won't everybody be looking at that one and saying, what's the matter with you? Are you anti-humanity? Are you anti-everything? Are you anti-hope? Are you anti-everything? This is the final movement, and we're heading towards it. Prophecy is fulfilling before our very eyes. May God grant us wisdom.
We need it.
We need it. And our people need to wake
us.
And I pray that not only our people, but that the whole of humanity can make this comparison. The Word of God as opposed to this great Babylonian confusion. May we make the right decision. Will you pray for us?
I will pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we need you so badly in this time of the earth's history. Please help us to treat our neighbor as we would treat ourselves, and not see any color, and that we can see with clarity what is happening in and around the world and around where we are. Can you bless us and also bring us together and help us in these times? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.